Hello and welcome to Great Writer Steel. That's right, greatwritersteel.com, where you can find out what you can learn as a writer from the great writers and great pieces of the past. I'm working on how to steal from writers from the future. It's not going well. Maybe a Kickstarter. Today, we're going to be talking about a debate that we've been having for a very long time in the writing world, the MFA debate. Should you get one? Should you not get one? Is it necessary? Is it a waste of time? And a waste of money? Instead of just having that same old debate, I'm going to look at a piece by a writer named Okla Elliott. In case you don't know Okla, he's a very accomplished guy. The Illinois Distinguished Fellow at the University of Illinois, teaching comparative literature. He was one of my classmates at Ohio State in the MFA program. You should pick up his collection, From the Crooked Timber, Press 53 Books. He has a poetry collection, The Cartographer's Ink, and a novel coming out, The Doors You Mark Are Your Own, an extremely long, extremely cool novel written with Raoul Clement, coming out from Dark House Press. Now, I say all of that because Okla's a very cool guy. Very thoughtful guy, and thoughtful about a lot of things. And that's equally true in the ways that he spends his time. Now, he does write fiction and poetry and nonfiction, but he's also one of the guys and gals behind a site called As It Ought to Be. A very cool place to go. They have weekly poetry featured on the site, but also thought-provoking essays. One of those essays, published June 8th, 2014, was called Notes Toward a Writerly Education, or Can We Please, Please, Please Have a Different Debate? You'll find a link in the description of the video, so go check it out. My summary will not do the article complete justice. Do you remember Tom Snyder? I do. So sit back, mix yourself a color teeny, and let's have that debate. Like I said, Okla has some great ideas, as elucidated in his piece. You can check it out at asitoughttobe.com. You're looking at an image right now of the article. The essay is structured a lot like a nonfiction piece, which makes a lot of sense. Okla begins with complaint number one, breaking it down, talking about the debate that we usually have. Creative writing programs homogenize writing, making all writers who attend such programs do identical or insufferably similar writers. Now, is a lot of literary writing somewhat similar in tone and subject matter? I guess there's an inescapable truth in that, because the people who are writing it are literary people. They all have the same kinds of goals, even if they're very different in the way they apply their writing. Okla points out a very good retort. Think about it. David Foster Wallace, Richard Ford, they have MFAs. Andrew Hudgens, Marvin Bell, Kelly Link, Donald Ray Pollock, all of these people, very, very different writers, all of whom have an MFA. The MFA does not so much create this kind of homogenization. Complaint number two that we always hear. Writing programs perpetuate an environment wherein nepotism determines success more than talent and determination. You know, you hear about, oh, so-and-so from your program got a good word from the professor. Now they have an agent, then they're getting a big book deal. And, you know, that does happen. But it's always going to happen. As Okla points out, the professors in these programs, like professors in every department, they have an obligation to help out the best students, the students who need it. It's their job to help advance their students professionally. The same thing happens, as Okla points out, in clerkships and court. These things are going to happen, but they don't happen as often as some kind of complainers may think about. Complaint number three in the MFA debate. Creative writing programs exploit their students, either by charging them outrageous tuition for a degree that doesn't necessarily lead to gainful employment, or by exploiting their labor through teaching assistantships. Okla's retort? There are a lot of programs out there that don't offer any funding whatsoever. Some of them will even offer first-year funding and then nothing after that, which is even worse. But, as I can attest from Ohio State, there are programs that fund quite well. They offer students health insurance, and they take very good care of their MFA students. Maybe not the best argument to make. Much more important to Okla and to the rest of us are the ways that he advises us to change MFA programs. Change number one that he proposes: reading classes taught by outside faculty. I love this idea. Some of the most valuable times that I had during my MFA was in my Renaissance drama class, in the other classes that I took, and that includes a class I took in colonial history as a grad student. Now, I'm not going to be a graduate student in history, unfortunately, but I learned a lot. I got at least one poem out of my colonial history class, but more importantly, I learned how to think like a historian, which has served me well in my time. I learned how to think like a Renaissance scholar, which is very important to me. These kinds of things do the job of the university to expand our understanding of the world and to help us grow intellectually. Change number two. MFA and PhD programs should offer translation courses. I cannot support this strongly enough. Now, even though I had 5.5 years of German instruction, mein Deutsch ist nicht so gut, and I wish it were better. My basic understanding of German helps me understand the way that language is used by people, helps me understand how words are put together. And I wish that I had a greater understanding of English through the lens of German or another language. So I really can't support that idea enough. Change number three to the MFA program, a study abroad option. That one is another great idea. Okla does address the money problem inherent in going overseas, but my goodness, wouldn't it be wonderful to have that as a part of an MFA program? I've only been outside of the country a little bit. I was in Ireland, and even though, you know, they all speak English, I had a wonderful eye-opening experience there, which has enriched me ever since. Thinking about new cultures, new traditions, wouldn't that enrich you as a writer? Perhaps that should be a part of the MFA. Change number four proposed by Okla Elliott. Graduate certificates and graduate minors should be offered. What a wonderful idea. Yeah, I got my creative writing MFA and a minor in history and a minor in physics. Psychology, history. Again, the point is to create well-rounded writers who have a wide frame of reference and can write all kinds of stories about all kinds of people and all kinds of places, which would also break that mold, the impression that stories from MFA people are homogenous. Okla also, importantly, helps us to reimagine the MFA. Instead of aggrandizing people who have achieved great success and great talent, that's obviously a great thing, why not glorify the idea that we make everybody someone who loves literature? Why can't we glorify that there are people out there who, even though someone like me, I guess, who doesn't have the talent of a T.C. Boyle, can expand his mind and become a greater appreciator of literature and, importantly, try to evangelize that love to others? Shouldn't that be a part more explicitly of the MFA? Reimagining number two. And this is another interesting point for me. No, creative writing programs may not churn out a lot of Joyce Carol Oates's or T.C. Eliot's every semester, but they do create lots of people who read those writers. My big thing is that we need to create more readers. I don't know how we do it, but teaching young people and not so young people, it really bums me out when you find out that people think that writing is just for fancy pants people, that poems have to be really difficult to understand, that writers aren't just trying to tell you a story or hit you with a cool metaphor, they're trying to mess with your head. I had one person say, "Oh, poetry, that's where somebody writes down all their depressed feelings and stuff." And yeah, okay, that's part of it. But that's not everything. While I love that MFA people are buying lots of collections, are buying lots of literary novels and poetry collections, why can't we make more readers? Perhaps that should be part of the reimagining of the MFA program. evangelizing, making writing more accessible to people, trying to restore what we had several decades ago, where people, instead of just cranking out in front of the TV and watching a CSI, they read a short story. The Saturday Evening Post had short stories. Why can't we be that way again? Unfortunately, I have no power, so I have no idea how we're going to do that. You can help me out. More importantly, what do you think about Okla Elliott and his essay? What do you think about the MFA debate? Isn't this the debate that we should be having instead of the traditional, well, do you need one in order to be a writer? The answer is no, obviously. Leave a comment. Check out Great Writer Steel. You can connect to me on Twitter at GreatWritersSTE on Twitter. On Facebook, Homing Pigeon. I have a Tumblr that I don't use very much because Tumblr is very difficult to understand. I don't get it. Until next time, this is Kenneth Nichols for Great Writer Steel.